you very welcome to episode 19 of the Breadwinner Podcast. I'm your host, Pori Kofi. Thank you very much for joining us. If you're watching us online, of course, on our Facebook channels, if you're looking at it on YouTube, hello to you. And if you're listening to it in the car or at work or wherever you might be, thanks for having your ears for a couple of hours. We did a couple of hours, 40 minutes. Hopefully, Carol, you've got a baby, so we'll not keep you too long. Yes, indeed, of course, we've got our next guest on the Breadwinners Podcast, and delighted to be bringing you these particular programs and shows. And this month, once again, we have a great guest, Carol Davidson. Hello to you. You're very welcome to the Breadwinners Podcast. And maybe first of all, give us who are you and tell people what you do.
Nice. Thank you so much, Paul, for having me on the Breadwinners Podcast. Really do appreciate it. And a big shout out to the listeners and the viewers as well. Who am I? That is an actual incredible question, because most people, when they say who are you, they'll say my name is, but they don't actually know who they are, or they'll start saying, oh well, I work as such and such, I'm a fireman, I'm a personal trainer or whatever. But who am I is also a little bit more deep into the kind of who are you, what are you doing in this world. So who am I? I'm a helper. What do? I help people gain better financial education. We specialize in basically helping people understand finances, understand personal finances, understand wealth, understand tax, understand wealth generation. You know, that's the big thing as well. So making wealth and then keeping wealth as well. So that's who I am, Porik.
Tell me, you got a lovely big Irish t-shirt on you. The cash flow, what is it? Cash flow Club Ireland, is it? Is
that
what
I'm guessing? Cash flow Club Era. I decided, because you know, you being a Donegal man, I decided I'll put it in Oscuelga, Cash Flow Club Era. But yeah, so myself and my wife Brona, she was actually the one that basically made Cash Flow Club Ireland. She's a bit of a night owl, and I'm a bit of an early bird, should I say. And basically one night she woke up in the middle of the night, I think it was like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and she goes, oh my god, like, we should create a cash flow club in Ireland. And we were like, all right, grand, let's get it, let's do it. And we started that around about 2016 2017, and it's just gone strength to strength for the last number of years. This year has been a really pivotal year for us, because we got recognition and a massive shout out by, you know, Robert Kiyosaki. So for your viewers on YouTube, I'm going to hold up Rich Dad Poor Dad, Robert T. Kiyosaki. If you haven't read that, obviously read it, it's a game changer. But Robert Kiyosaki gave us a nice recognition and nice shout out to the Cash Flow Club Ireland. It's one of the most largest clubs in the world, and it's one of the most active clubs in the world. And it's not just people from Ireland as well, it's from people from all over the world that come to understand finances, understand wealth generation, and you know, just to network around, you know, open-minded people as well. And you know, who knows where the future holds if you're in Cash Flow Club Ireland.
Way too. I suppose when we get to all that nice stuff, you know, we're going to do a bit of digging here. You know, I've got my shovel with me, Carol. Nice. You know,
love it.
we're always inquisitive here, as yeah. You said. So an area, Sin Cara Galore into jazz. It's really good to see that you're using the changla, the Irish changla.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so complimentary to you there. Yeah, Carol. Suppose, look, I've got to know you over the last number of years, and suppose, like a lot of people, has been online through let's not say the big C word, of course. It was because everyone had to adjust online, but it got so many relationships going and got a lot of different things like your club going. But first of all, I'm going to take you back. Tell us a wee bit more about you, Carol. Tell us a wee bit more about, you know, where you're from, first of all. If you've got a little bit of a Dublin accent, I do think.
You know what, I'm a Kildare man true and true, for the Irish listeners. I'm born and bred in, well, I was born in Dublin, but obviously I was the nearest hospital there. But I'm a Kildare man. North Kildare, there's a big difference between North Kildare and South Kildare. But I've pretty much lived my whole life growing up in Kildare. And you know, yeah, I went to college in Dublin. I was on a Dublin bus route. And yeah, I mean, that's probably where the little bit of Dublin twang comes in. But yeah, so a little bit about me. So basically, my whole kind of life changed when I was about 8 years of age. Now, I'm not going to say a big sob story. We all have one. Most people, you know, don't care anyway. But basically, and I respect the privacy of my mom and dad as well. But basically, they divorced, they split up. So that kind of, you know, the broken family type kind of arrangement kind of affected me when I was very, very young. So much so that age 10, I had my first, let's say, job, where I was basically a paper boy, you know, delivering newspapers around my local estate. I had 200 newspapers. And at the time, this is showing my age here, Porrick, and I'm still young. At the time, it was 200 papers or 200 newspapers for £5 and five Irish pund. And from then, I did that for about a year or so. And then as soon as I turned 16, I started to work in the K Club in Kildare as well. You know, I think a lot of people know that recently because I think a famous MMA artist from Ireland lives there as well. But I spent 4 years working as a waiter doing weddings and that sort of stuff in the K Club. Was, you know, rubbing shoulders with some seriously influential people. Like, I was at Gianfranco Zola's birthday party. I think he was...
Yeah, here we go.
I think he was turning 40 it wasn't 35, but I think it was about 40. There was a lot of kind of people that I'd seen, a lot of developers, a lot of kind of business people, like some of the members of the K Club were, you know, phenomenal people, like, you know, but I always kind of thought to myself, like, how do they like have money? Like, what do? They have businesses. They have businesses. They don't have jobs. They have businesses. And, you know, that kind of set the seed a little bit. But then when I was, I finished college when I was 20, I started college electrical engineering when I was 17. And I finished college when I was 20, but I remember being in the student canteen.
I'm going to pull you back. Yeah. About the paper round, which was calculating, you would have got your 10,000 steps in, which was fairly healthy, obviously. Well done there. But even in the K Club, all right, I know this is completely off circle. Who's the most famous person you met? Go on, give it to me.
The most famous, like, there's been a few, like I remember I was doing a function for the French Secret Service. Now, I don't know how famous they were, but, like, that was phenomenal. Just to see, like, that sort of wealth and all. Niall Quinn, I know he's more Irish famous than anything. You know, Ronan Keating's up there. There's a good few Irish people as well. Brian, I forget his second name. He's on RT as well. The good looking chap with the nice hair. And Ronnie Whelan, a lot of kind of, you know, footballers as well. And of course, like, you know, Michael Smurfit, who's like an absolutely incredible entrepreneur, like, you know, and then a lot of, like, you know, his children and stuff like that. But actually as well, what I guess if you wanted to go, like, one of the most famous would probably be Prince Albert of Monaco. I remember seeing him, and again, like, you know, it's phenomenal kind of seeing these people as well, and having a lot of admiration as well for them, because at the end of the day, they're also normal human beings, but they just worked really, really hard at working really, really smart. And that's a big thing for a lot of people.
I can see the patterns here. Yeah. So around and up into the cake. And suppose, like, I know we're having a bit of crack here.
Absolutely. 100%.
Kind of changed your mindset. It got you inquisitive. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. Like, when you're surrounded by wealth, I mean, you're going to pick up, you know, like, that was on a subconscious level. Like, I didn't even realize. I mean, I was still, like, young, still drinking in fields and stuff like that, Porrick. Like, but at the same time, at the weekends, like, I was, you know, rubbing shoulders with a lot of these people. And you know, there was some famous tennis players there as well. And like, you know, it's not that you're thinking like them, but just because you're around them, you become the average of your five friends. Now, like, obviously they weren't my friends and stuff like that, but at the same time, like, you're seeing them. You're seeing what they're doing and how they're doing things, and you know, so it's really, really interesting.
And it's getting to that high performance aspect, and you hear a lot of talk about it. And suppose until you, you see it in sporting aspects, but you suppose in business as well, it's about those high performance things that they do. Maybe the small things really, really well, and the detailed things, you know. But Karen, suppose from your point of view as a young lad in Kildare coming up there, was that where suppose you started to get the, you know, the thinking cap on, and as I say, you know, what you're going to do? Because obviously back then you don't know really, do you?
Yeah, no, I hadn't a clue. And you know, when I was in, you know, even before like my college, even before I got my electrical engineering degree, like, you know, I remember sitting down with my dad and just being like, right, well, I like engineering, I like maths and physics and stuff like that, so what basically, what's the highest paid job? And we were looking at the time, I think it's still the CAO, or I think that's what it's called. And it was like, oh, electrical engineers are quite highly paid. So I was like, all right, grand, let's just do that. Like, I hadn't a clue, you know. But I remember as I was just about to finish off there, like, that I was sitting in the canteen in DIT Kevin Street, which is no more anymore. Like, they knocked down the building and stuff like that. And I remember thinking to myself, is this it? I'm 20 years of age. Do I now have to work in a job for the next 45 years? And I was like, there has to be something different here, like, you know. And that was the, again, small little kind of clicks that happen, you know. But the big part was when I read Rich Dad Poor Dad, like, you know, without a doubt, like, that was the whole game changer. That was that missing link that I had, that I needed in my life, you know. And that's where it's just been an absolute game changer since. It's been phenomenal.
What age did you pick up Robert's book?
You know what's really interesting about this? It was actually my then, she wasn't even my girlfriend at the time. I met Brona online, you know, in 2016. And then I was working at the time, and I was going over to Japan to install $150 million machine, basically. And she said, here, you know, have a read of this. Now, at the time, I read maybe two books, one from my Leaving Cert, one from my Junior Cert, and I think a half a Bear Grylls book. So I said, right, I'll get it on audio. And I got it on audio, and I got two books on audio. Excuse me. I got Rich Dad Poor Dad, and I got Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People. Now, when I tell you that I was stopped in my tracks walking on a busy street in Japan, you know, I was stopped in my tracks. I literally stopped crossing a pedestrian for the Dale Carnegie book, because that really, like, my mind just blew. Like, and the one thing that stopped me was, do you control your emotions, or do your emotions control you? And that to me was like, oh my God. Like, and so many people, when it comes to money, wealth, they get so emotional about it. You know, it's numbers, it's logic, you know, but there's a lot of, how would you say, it can be taboo. And it's not just Ireland. It's all across the world. You know, I've been to over 40 countries in the world, and so much more to do. And, you know, it's the same. It's the same programming that we get. And, you know, when I was 25 at the time when I picked up Rich Dad Poor Dad, and since then, it's just been an absolute game changer. Like, I've taken the information in that and I've applied it to my life, and it works, and it's working as well. And that's a big thing. But yeah, a lot of people, go ahead, Park.
You can talk the talk at times, you know, and you can pick up books and put them down. And interesting you say that a book changed your emotional capacity in life moving forward. And that's quite deep at Easter time here that we're recording it. Yeah. It's, you know, because obviously when you're reading that book and you're thinking, right, okay, geez, that was quite tough to take in. Yeah. Maybe talk me through that, because that emotional aspect in a lot of things, and yep, sport, go back to sport, come in, you know, to your profession. How do you think your emotions control that?
You know, like, it's a great question. And I think I went on a massive, massive personal development journey from the ages of about 23 onwards. And it really went like really deep from about 25. So when I picked up Rich Dad Poor Dad, that was the catalyst. But the 2 years prior, I'd come out of a bad relationship. I remember looking at myself in the mirror and going, geez, Carl, you need to beef up a little bit and going to the gym. And when I went to the gym, I needed something to kind of fire me up, to pump me up. And I typed in YouTube, typed in motivation, and Eric Thomas came up, who was a phenomenal motivational speaker. And he led me into Les Brown, who was a bit of a wordsmith. And I got mentored by Les Brown back in 2020. And that's been a phenomenal journey and still is, because I'm friends with him. Sorry, Park.
An icon, Les Brown.
Absolutely. He's incredible. But I went deep into myself. And a lot of people struggle with that. You know, it's very surface level, but you know, I spent a lot of time. Yeah.
Is that an Irish thing, do you think? When you say how you described it was perfect, go deep into yourself. You're above that. You don't want to go down there. We're just
I mean, people will say it's an Irish thing, but I think it's a human thing. You know, like regardless of where you come from, most of us have a very very similar programming. We have different upbringings, but the programming is very similar. And, you know, we can get very surface level. And that's why I said at the very start, when you asked me, who am I? You know, a lot of people, majority of people will say, my name is, or, you know, my name is, and I work as this, you know, and that's not who you are. That's just what you do. So, you know, when it comes to basically going deep into yourself, it takes a lot of, you have to ruffle up, you have to create a jiggle in yourself. You know, you have to have crucial conversations with some people you love. You know, and set the boundaries and set the expectations. And you know, that can be challenging because you're not taught in school, you know, how to control your emotions, how to, you know, basically express yourself and stuff like that. Yeah, they're kind of bringing it in a little bit now, but especially for like, you know, a man and, you know, to suppress the feelings and all, you know, this whole programming of, you know, big boys don't cry and all that sort of stuff. And that's a totally different topic, Park, that we can get into. But, you know, like all of that sort of stuff, you know, you have to go deep down if you're not willing to, you know, be successful in something that you want to do, then grand, don't go down and figure out more about yourself. But if you do want to be successful, you do want to be the best that you can be in this one world, in this one life that you have, then it will take a little bit of digging deep and finding out how you can provide value for so many other people in the world. So fantastic question, Fork.
And that comes with a cost, as you indicated, to yourself about, you know, you have having to do a lot of research and a lot of different aspects. Someone who's out there, Carol, and you touched on the man thing, the man word. We're just not good at those conversations, and you know, you have to appraise our female candidates. They're very much a lot more at ease with it.
Yeah,
we're not, and unfortunately, you know, there should be a lot more done. But that took a lot of courage from you to actually say, right, okay, 23 years old, in a bad relationship, you got out of it, you threw on the weights, you put on a YouTube channel, get it into your mind. That is a massive trigger then to go, right, I'm going to actually start really, really digging deep in this. Yeah. Why?
Oh, great question. Why? I think because I knew that you only have one life on this, you know, in the cosmos of time, right? In the cosmos of time, you're going to live about 90 years. And in the cosmos of time, that is nothing but a fart in the wind, you know? So for me, I just was always like, well, why not? Why not, like, put yourself out there? Why not go on these podcasts? Why not, like, what you don't want to be, and this is a quote from Les Brown as well, and it's powerful, and gives me goosebumps as well when I think about it, but you don't want to be on your deathbed regretting the things that you didn't do when you were younger, because of the fear of what other people think. Other people don't pay my bills. People's opinions of me does not pay my bills, and I have bills to pay, you know? So it is a case of, right, well, I'm going to do what I got to do in this world, and whatever that is, you know, I'm always evolving as well. You know, it's not like, all right, what I am now is what I'm going to be for the rest of my life. No, I'm always going to talk about money because it's up there with oxygen. It's super important. But you know, like in the future, who knows where, you know, where I'll be. Well, I know one place where I'll definitely be, which is Portugal, because we'll be moving over there at some point.
Hello. It'd be a lot warmer than Ireland anyway, but
yeah,
that was really good. Now the last couple of minutes to get to that kind of a psyche, and look, it is, you have to really think about, you know, why am I doing something? If you're not happy with something, you got to change it. Sounds so simple, and it can be very simple, but by God, it's hard, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, like, look, Pork, if it was easy, everybody would do it. And that's why most people just, you know, I don't want to get too negative here, but most people don't do it. Most people don't want to progress in life. They're happy with, you know, just being, you know, flatlined. Like, you know, life is full of peaks and troughs, because otherwise, you know, it's literally a flat line. So I mean, like, you know, most people don't want it, and that's okay. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Not everybody can be a super successful whatever, you know. Not everybody can be a business person. Not everyone can be an entrepreneur or whatever. You know, we need people doing what they're doing. But you know, if you did want to do it, then just start, do something. It's a start that stops most people. And you know, I think people know deep down, actually, do you know what, I should be doing a lot more and a lot better, but there's something in me that's kind of dragging me back as well. Like, you know, so it is. And just to touch on a point that you mentioned there about, like, you know, the whole man thing as well, I think it's up to, you know, people like us to be able to fully express how we feel, not be ridiculed or anything about it. And to be open and say, like, you know, hey, look, I'm suffering from depression or whatever. You know, I had a massive anxiety, like, when it came to money. And my big thing was depending on one single income. That was my anxiousness. That's what it stemmed from, and it was rooted from childhood and all that sort of stuff. So I know all about that. But that's, you know, for me, that was the thing, like, right, I'm only dependent on one single stream of income. You know, like, if imagine this, right? Imagine two tables, one table with just one leg, and how easy it is to knock over. But you have a table with four legs or even three legs. You know, how harder that is to knock over. So that was where my anxiety was coming from when it came to money and that sort of stuff. And then I changed that because I was sick and tired of being anxious, you know, and telling people, like, hey, yeah, I'm super anxious about, you know, money and stuff, and I'm going to change that. And you know, still, obviously, you get anxious, you know, you're only human, you know, these emotions come up, it's fluid. But at the same time, I have things to deal with it. And being on the path that I'm on has really calmed everything down as well, Pork.
Get into the ice bath as well, Carol. You know, it calms you down. Well, you've made a lot of very good points there. And hey, look, everyone goes through those particular aspects. And just really, you know, the rocky road, it's there. But funny, listening to something today, it's about the journey. If you look back in 10 years time and you go, well, look, that was a piece of cake when I think about it, because was a challenge then, isn't a challenge now. And suppose within life and with learning about how the whole thing goes, it's about giving yourself those tools. Is probably the important thing, because a lot of people, doesn't matter what they are, who they are, doesn't matter how successful they are, or, you know, they could be the most richest person in the world, but they might not actually be the most happiest person in the world. So it's about finding that balance, maybe, Carol, and understanding that there is a balance, and there's going to be days, and we all get them, let's be honest.
Yeah, 100%. And you mentioned a really important word there with tool, you know, and I use money, or currency, should I say, because I'm going to show you the difference between money and currency. This was currency, which is a $1 trillion bank. So for your viewers here, I'm holding, I suppose the viewers can see, but the listeners can't. To the listeners, I'm holding up a $1 trillion note from Zimbabwe. So it used to be currency, right? But now it's worthless. But then put gold around it, you know, put it in 24 karat gold, then it becomes something. It's worth something. So that's just something that, you know, it touched on in terms of kind of financial education and in terms of basically the difference between currency and money and that sort of stuff. So, yeah, I can talk a little bit more about that as well, Pádraig.
we're going to get into that, Ciarán. So your career, obviously, you got into your electrical engineer.
Yeah.
Brilliant career. Obviously, yeah. Anytime I'm talking to you, you're floating about. And as you said, Japan, but there's other locations you'd be about as well. I'd be going, where's Carol now? You know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, like I've done a lot of travel with my job, you know, and very grateful for the job as well. I went into the semiconductor industry when I finished college. It was either that or the Air Corps, and I was there thinking to myself, fly planes or be flown in a plane? And I chose the latter. And yeah, that has made all the difference, because during my kind of first couple of years, I was traveling all around the world, Japan, America, Taiwan. And then in the last couple of years, I was in China for 2 years. And it's just been phenomenal to be able to take in different cultures and see different ways of working, different ways of living. But at the same time, it's pretty much all the same. I mean, everyone gets up in the morning. Most people get up in the morning, go to work, and then come back, like, you know. And they just do it in hotter or sunnier climates and that sort of stuff.
And if you're in Ireland, you have a bit of crack too when you do it as well.
Exactly.
You have to call it out as it is. So, yeah. Garrett, such a great story to get to that far, right? Okay, and we've broken down the mold why you actually did what you did. You got through some struggles in life. You decided then you were going to get into this this next stage of your life. Let's call it. You picked up a book and it floored you for a good reason. And books do that. And I have to confess too, I hate it. I was never really studious at school at all. It wasn't for me. But as you get older in life, you decide, you know, you try and learn a bit more. And I like audio, love listening to things, constantly listening to different audio books all the time. But you decided to pick up another book, and that book was Robert Kiyosaki's book. And now this is where it gets really interesting, and I think this is where I reached out to you. And you started to read Robert Kiyosaki's book.
Yeah.
Tell us your thoughts after that.
Oh, where do I start? It was a complete paradigm shift. I mean, you know, I went to school. I got good grades. I got decent enough grades. You know, I got a degree. I did everything that society kind of programmed me to do. And I was still left with, well, what else? I had all fun in my life. I had, you know, some bit of freedom in terms of, you know, I was working shift work. So if I took off a couple of days, I would have a lot of days off. So I went traveling and stuff like that. But what I was lacking was fulfillment. And when I picked up Rich Dad Poor Dad, I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to fix myself first and then fix others, or help fix others. And they have to fix themselves as well. But like, for me, that was just, it was a complete paradigm shift. You know, the rich don't work for money. You know, that's, I think, the first chapter in it. And I think the second chapter is the difference between assets and liabilities. And it's like, right, well, you know, at one point in my life, Pádraig, like, I was, I think, 20 odd or 21. I was earning two grand a month, which is not bad for a 21-year-old, you know, straight out of college. But I remember spending €500 on T-shirts, branded T-shirts. And I was buying these T-shirts to make me look good, to impress people that didn't like me. And, you know, it wasn't until many years afterwards, I was like, what was I doing? Like, you know, €500 on T-shirts, like, you know, they brought me nothing but a bill, you know, in terms of like a credit card bill. Now you take €500 and invest in something else, you know, at least that's making you money. And that's a big thing as well. It's like, so many people don't know the difference between an asset and a liability. They don't know the difference between, you know, an unforeseen expense and having an emergency fund there and having investments as well. Because, you know, in this day and age where inflation, look, you can trust the government and see, you know, if the numbers are the numbers that they're putting out are the correct ones, but they don't include food and energy in inflation. So, you know, I don't know anybody who can live without food or energy. So, I mean, you know, so in my opinion, the inflation rate is nearly twice what they're saying. So like
10%, that is actually 20. Let's call it speed.
Yeah, it's close to 20. And that means that if you've got 100 grand in the bank this year, it's going to be worth 80 grand. The purchasing power of that 100 grand is only going to get you 80 grand. If you look at basically in the 1970s, for example, 40 years ago now, 50 years, you look at the 1970s, right? If you had $500,000, like 500,000 Irish pounds, whatever, $500,000, whatever, you know, what could you buy with that? You could buy a whole lot. You could buy 10 houses. You know, houses back then were going for 30, 40, 50 grand. Right now, 50 years later, that 500 grand can get you maybe one house in certain parts of Ireland. You can't get a house maybe in Dublin, you know, maybe not in Kildare, like, you know. But so in certain parts of Ireland, so that 500 grand. So over time, our euros are losing purchasing power. And then in 50 years time, how much will that 500 grand be worth? Time will tell. And the only way for it to be worth more is that if something catastrophic happens, like, and I'm talking bigger than the great, you know, bigger than a recession, bigger than a Great Depression, you know, not to scare the viewers and the listeners, but like that is literally, or they keep printing money and money and money and then, you know, keep, yeah, raising taxes and stuff like that. But yeah, people are going to eventually at some point, they're going to be like, right, enough is enough. And they'll do what the French do and get out and protest.
Yeah, they protested anything. But no, it's interesting to say that because, yeah, it's one of those, suppose from your journey of understanding the book, your liabilities and assets. And I think we're all guilty of that. You know, when you're younger, you grow up and you just don't get it. And so, some people go through their whole life and they don't get it, you know, and maybe if there's a, I wouldn't say an easier road, you know, to take, but more education. I think it does start with education and, you know, trying to get people to understand that, you know, you're in a situation now at the minute, but if you plan it right, it'll be fine, you know, it'll work itself through if you do that instead of maybe buying the designer gear as such and, you know, look at your investments. But I think people are, they are getting a little bit more savvier now. They are.
Like for sure, Pork, they are, you know, like, especially in the last couple of years, they've had time to actually stop and think. A lot of people lost jobs, a lot of people lost businesses and stuff. And it gave them a little bit of time, a little bit of breathing space to be like, okay, you know, what next? Like this has happened now. We had 2007, 2008, a couple of years ago as well. You know, what's happening next? What do I need to do so I'm not stuck in this situation again? Like, and it's education changes situation. And that's the key message from the Cashflow Club Ireland is basically get yourself educated. It doesn't bother me like in any way, shape or form what asset class you go down, whether it's stock market, and that includes all mutual funds, ETFs, in the indexes, all that sort of stuff. It doesn't bother me if you get into property. It doesn't bother me if you get into crypto. It doesn't bother me if you get into gold and silver, or business, traditional brick and mortar, online businesses. What bothers me is that if you don't get into it, you know, regardless of, you know, what's happening in the world, that's what bothers me. I'm like, right, how much more punches to the face, not literally, obviously, but how much more punches in the face or, you know, how much more punches to the wallet do you need in order for you to actually wake up and be like, right, I'm getting paid $3,000 a month. I'm going to take 200 euro of that and invest it into something. Whether it's just myself and books for the time being, for the first year, and then go from there and then start taking action as well. Because what I found is when I first started investing in 2008, I invested predominantly in bullion, in silver, predominantly silver. And I'll tell you the reason why silver. And since then, it's just opened up a whole different avenue. And that's the thing is like people you know, I said this before, it's the start that stops most people. And it's not that they're afraid to invest. They just don't know how to invest. They don't know why they're investing as well. That's a big thing. It's like, oh, I want to make more money. It's like, yeah, but why? Like, you know, and that's something that you need to, again, dig deeper now, like with my baby now. Everything is just going to her. Like, she's got silver coins in her hand, like, you know, she's playing with silver coins, like. And I'm not saying this to impress you or the listeners or the viewers. I'm just saying to impress you, or impress upon you, basically the level of financial education that I've gone down, you know, deep in myself, the amount of money, currency, the amount of money that I've spent on courses, mentors, books, everything, like, you know, different events across the world. But there was a point that I wanted to say there is basically, you know, when it comes to money, you know, at what point are you going to go, enough is enough, I need to learn? And that's, you know, coming back to the Cashflow Club, we want to educate you. We want to help you. You know, the Cashflow events are all around Ireland, and, you know, like, come to the event, you know, play the game and network with the people. Because, you know, just really quickly getting back to, you know, when I first invested in gold and silver back in 2018, like, that just opened up doors for me. It just opened up different people. It just opened up different minds. It's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? So, you know, when you've got skin in the game, you know, the game changes. You know, it's like pork. I know you've got a big sporting background. When you're on the field, you're playing the game. But when you're sitting in the stands, all you're doing is critiquing. All you're doing is like, okay, yeah, you might be clapping when they score, but you're also like, oh, they should have done this, they should have done that. But when you're in the game, you're giving it your best. You're giving it your all. You know, that's the same with investing. You might be giving it your best in terms of giving it your all your money and just hoping and praying, but that's more so gambling. But what you want to be doing is you want to be strategically investing as well. So that's kind of what we teach as well in the Cashflow Club, and for my clients as well, in terms of education as well. So,
yeah, so bringing it on to from your reading of your book to you came back to Ireland, did your traveling, and lockdown came. Yourself and your wife obviously realized there was a bit of a gap in the market there for information on investment. Really, it could have been anything. You'd invest in anything or start a business, or so you got a private Facebook group, and that's just knowledge being oozed out every day, every other day, from your good selves and people within the group as well. So tell us a bit more about that, and how long's that going?
Yeah, so we started that in 2017. I think we had the idea in 2016, but officially it was 2017 when we started it. And basically, yeah, it's just you're sharing different, you know, different asset classes. Like, you know, well, there's a lot of Bitcoin people in there, cryptocurrency people. There's a lot of property investors, gold, silver, you know, business network marketers, affiliate marketers, traditional brick and mortar businesses. There's millionaires in there. I know that because I've added a few in and a multi-millionaire for sure. Not a billionaire yet, but, you know, he's on his way. He's on his way. But like, this is what you want to be around if you want to generate more wealth. You know, you want to be around this because you want to see what other people are doing. And it's a great community as well, because, like, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, if someone's into crypto and another person's into property. Like, you might know someone that's, you know, that knows someone that wants to do some crypto, or that wants to do property, or that wants to do gold and silver, that wants to do stocks and stuff like that. You know, it's all a big community. It's all a big network of people as well. And, like, you know, we've been doing it predominantly on Facebook. We have obviously an Instagram page as well, but the Facebook group is kind of, I know there's obviously not an awful amount of people on Facebook these days. But at the same time, there's a lot of knowledge there. There's a lot of education there as well. And it's different when you have over 3,000 people kind of in the group. You know, every now and then you'll have someone that has never said anything in the group that pops up and gives their, you know, their little bit of spiel, and they might just be quiet for the next couple of years. But that bit of spiel that they give might be that information that somebody needs at that time as well. So it's powerful. We're obviously on TikTok as well, LinkedIn as well. But you know, our big thing is kind of the group aspect on Facebook as well. Like, and it's been a phenomenal journey. Like, you know, we just, as I mentioned, we just got a shout out from Robert Kiyosaki, like a personal video to myself and Brona. And that was like, that was phenomenal. Like, you know, to have someone like Robert Kiyosaki, so humble, so funny as well. I mean, I've saw him live in Singapore and I've been in, you know, a private room with him, and the learnings that I got from it, it's been phenomenal. Like, you know, and now it's just giving back. Now it's just right, we have events around the world, or around Ireland, and we will have events around the world, of course, when we travel. So yeah, I mean, it's great. Like, you know,
I can carry bags as good as you ever seen, you know, so good, strong
nice.
Tell us about suppose the Cash Flow Club, over 3,000 followers now. Not bad for a guy studied electrical engineering and started to do something a little bit on the side, different, eyebrow raising. People would have been guessing what's this all about, this madness. Yeah. But it's showing you know your true self when you want to share information, you want to give back, you want to pull those along with you, because that is so important in life. That you know. Why keep it to yourself? You know, you could have just said, "No, battered away myself here."
Yeah, and you know what is really interesting? Like when we lived in China, like, you know, it was just a phenomenal, you know, time of growth as well. And I remember coming across a Chinese proverb, and it was basically like, if someone gives you something of value and you benefit from it, you have a moral obligation to share with others. And to me, that's profound, because Brona at the time gave me Rich Dad Poor Dad. I benefited from it, and now I have a moral obligation to share with others. And if people do that as well, the world, small, you know, as it is, will have a massive rip effect, and the world will get better. And if, you know, look at the end of the day, you know, we're only, you know, we're only human. And but it does, as Michael Jackson says, you know, if you want to make a change, look at yourself in the mirror, you know, and what you put out will, you know, it can infect people, you know, in the best way possible, not in the worst way, you know. And like, you know, it's just been an incredible journey with the Cash Flow Club. And, you know, it's, look, at the end of the day, Pádraig, like, you know, making money and making more money is not for everybody. You know, changing up your lineage, so that your kids can live a great life, you know, it might not be for everybody, you know, but at least try it. Like, you've got nothing to lose and everything to gain. If you're coming in with a little bit of skepticism, that can be okay. Skepticism is okay, because it means that you're actually a critical thinker, and I admire that. Because as an electrical engineer, right, I mean, you talk about the most skeptic person in the world. Well, maybe not in the world, but a very Irish skeptic person. Oh, that's a scam. Oh, this is that. And, you know, all this sort of stuff. And then I realized, well, scam actually stands for someone confused about money. And at the time I was. And then also, when it comes to, you know, financial education, there's a lot of people that don't understand it. So don't be, you know, don't be... This is another funny one as well. Don't be a financial dumbass, which basically means a dumbass is basically doesn't understand money, but always screams scam. So, like, you know, yes, there is so much, you know, things out there that you will lose money, but there's also a lot of things out there that you gain money. And it's being around the right people with the right morals, with the right ethics, with the right values, and then see where it goes, you know. And again, as you said as well, Pádraig, about the journey, it's like, you know, each different thing is just a vehicle to your destination. Like, you might start an online business and it goes belly up or something, whatever, and then you take those learnings and those skills and you apply it into property, and then from property then it goes, oh, you know, the property went belly up, and then boom, I go back to a traditional brick and mortar business or another online business. And everything, you're gaining momentum, you're gaining skills, you're gaining networks as well, you know. And that's something that obviously I also teach my clients as well. So yeah,
look, we've been chatting nearly the guts of 45 minutes now or so it's gone a bit of a roller coaster from start to finish. And We're nearly out the other side. And then comes the marriage and the babies. So that's the last stage in life. So, Carol, it's another aspect of you know, suppose it's been something in the back of your head for quite some time, obviously. And now it's here. How is the little one? Good?
Yeah, she's great. She's 8 months. She's phenomenal. Like, she's just, it's just such a different, it's the best personal development journey that I've ever been on. Like, and I've been on it for the last number of years, but just watching your, you know, your baby just evolve in front of your eyes is phenomenal. Like, it's absolutely phenomenal. Like, and, you know, obviously we're going to have more at some stage, God willing. And you know, like, look, you know, it's just incredible. And that's a big thing. Like, the minute we found out that we were pregnant, like, it just lit a fire under my belly. And I was just like, you know what? I have to be the breadwinner. not that Brown is not the breadwinner, but in myself, you know, I now have to, it's not about me anymore. It's about my baby and my future babies. It's about that generational lineage as well. It's about, what can I do in this world, in this one life, that will help my children's children's children? And that's why I'm doing this. That's why I'm, like, you know, helping so many people as well. And then I hope, my hope is that someone says that and has a Me Too attitude and goes, you know what Carol was talking, I want to do that too. You know, that's the hope as well, you know. And that will happen.
It will happen, yeah. Before I let you go from the Breadwinners podcast, three little guidelines that we always ask our guests on the program to give us three things that we could take away from tonight. You've been listening, people have been listening, they've been going, what can I, a little bit of inspiration, grab the bull by the horns, as they say. What is the three things that Carol Davison would give us?
Three. I need more than three, Boric.
Well, I'm only saying three, but if you do more, go for it.
Definitely, for sure. Like, you know, if you're coming to a stage in life where there's no momentum, you know, progress equals happiness. Invest in yourself, you know, and that could be as small as, you know, taking out, you know, buying an audio book, you know. Do things that set your soul on fire. Do things that make you happy. Like, I love traveling. We're going on a cruise this year. We're going over to Portugal as well. Like, I love traveling. So meeting people, you know, tasting different foods, do things that set your soul on fire. And then also be grateful. I think that's the third and final one. Grateful, you know, gratitude is the best attitude. And be grateful, because at the end of the day, like, you know, even though you might be going through some problems, you know, there's people that are going through a lot worse, let's say, you know. So yeah, be grateful and give thanks. So yeah.
Gareth, it's been amazing. 50 minutes or so on the podcast talking to you. We were meant to do this for quite some time. We eventually got there, so it was great. And where can people check you out and find you?
Yeah, so you can find me obviously on LinkedIn, Carol Davison. You can find me on Instagram, following Carol Davison. You can find me on TikTok, Cashflow Club Ireland. Facebook, same, Carol Davison and Cashflow Club Ireland. And what else? Snapchat. I've got Snapchat there as well that I do. I throw up a few things up there as well. So yeah, I'm just YouTube as well. You can find me on YouTube, Carol Davison. So pretty much all social media is covered as well. So yeah.
And you can find you on a building site too as well. Doing a bit of work also in the electrical engineering. So look, fair play to you, Carol. You're a passionate man, and it's good to see that you're giving back, and people, of course, hopefully will learn something from the podcast tonight. Well, thanks very much for joining us. If you've watched this particular series of the Breadwinners podcast, of course, we bring you these on a monthly basis. I'm getting asked for more interviews and more, so might do bi-weekly, but at the minute, they're monthly. A big thank you to Carol Davison, our special guest tonight from the Cashflow Club Ireland. And as Carol was saying, you can reach out to him I hope today's podcast was useful. Please tag me over on all our social channels on Facebook and YouTube. Search The Breadwinners Podcast and click the like button on YouTube and subscribe, of course, and do connect on our Facebook channel as well. And please don't forget to leave a comment on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. But for myself, Pádraig Hilferty, and the Breadwinner Podcast team, we'll speak to you soon.